Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2465 with a release date of Friday, January 24th, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. An alert. Amateur helps locate two missing children in India. A wireless device helps track down the body of a Colorado skier. And in the UK, Ofcom revisits operating privileges for visiting amateurs. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2465 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Situational awareness is always key for hams doing emergency communications, and it was never more important than at a recent religious pilgrimage in India, where one observant radio amateur intervened to help find two missing children. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, brings us that story.
Hams around the world who were making DX contacts with AU2WBRC, the West Bengal Radio Club, were no doubt happy to log a QSO from the second largest religious gathering of Hindus in India, the Gangasagar Mela in West Bengal. They may not have realised that one member of the team made another important contact off the air with the cooperation of a drone operator in the area. A 9-year-old girl and her 3-year-old sister had boarded a departing bus, expecting their mother and grandmother to follow. But the adults failed to join them because the massive crowd at the bus stand had gotten their way. The bus pulled away with the unaccompanied children. Saborni Nar Biswas, VU2JFC, was at the festival to assist with the radio club's de-expedition and public safety work. She told Newsline she was near the bus stand assisting others who had lost their way in the crowd when the frantic mother approached her after the bus pulled away. The mother could not recall the bus identifying number. Knowing that there were drones flying over the island for security purposes, Saborni telephoned the drone operators to see if any footage captured from the air could identify the departed vehicle. After the bus was identified, located and stopped, she accompanied Kolkata police to the bus and the girls were returned to their mother and grandmother. A local newspaper credited Saborni's actions, calling them, quote, key in completing the search operation in such a short time, end quote. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The body of an accomplished skier in Colorado was found with the help of a personal device known as an avalanche transceiver, 4 hours after he became buried in the snow. We have that story from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A wearable wireless safety device known as an avalanche transceiver helped a woman find the body of her husband, a veteran downhill skier who died after being buried in a Colorado mountain avalanche. 57-year-old Donald Moden Jr., who had once been a member of the local mountain rescue team, was likely buried in the avalanche for more than 4 hours before his body was located via transmissions from his tracking device, according to news reports. The avalanche occurred on January 7th on Red Mountain Pass, where he had skied for many years. News reports said the skier's wife became concerned when he failed to check in as agreed. Standing at the trailhead with her own avalanche transceiver, she received transmissions being sent from her husband's device and was able to locate where he was buried. The transceiver, sometimes known as an avalanche beacon, transmits on 457 kHz. Newer ones have a three-antenna design for greater accuracy. According to several backcountry ski websites, the most modern devices have a transmitting range of 50 meters or more. A search team was called to assist with recovering the skier's body. News reports said that Donald Moden was the state's first reported fatality from an avalanche this season. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
A popular online ham radio magazine is returning for readers in Ireland and around the world, as we learn from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Ham Radio Ireland is back. After a period of inactivity late last year, the free independent downloadable newsletter resumed online publication in late January, shortly after its creators launched its predecessor, the Connaught Regional Newsletter, in 2022. Realising it held appeal beyond its initial readership in Western Ireland, it was renamed Ham Radio Ireland. Authors volunteered to share their expertise on QRP satellite operation, VHF, UHF, home construction, keyboard modes, and other topics. According to Steve Wright, EI5DD, editorial contributions eventually slowed to a trickle, making continued publication a challenge. By last September, production had stopped. John Tubrit, EI3HQB, from Collective Communications, and Steve Wright, EI5DD, are now on the editorial team to revive the magazine in a new format. Initially, the best site for downloads will be via the Facebook page of Ham Radio Ireland. Links will soon be available on other social media platforms. Authors anywhere in the world are welcome to send stories and pictures relevant to Ham Radio and their experiences. They can be sent directly to Steve at Wright14, that's WRIGHT figures 14, at gmail.com. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The Lake Placid Olympic Museum in northern New York State is receiving a donation that is more than just images and memories. This gift contains history, as we hear from Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE.
It has been 45 years since the Winter Olympics were held in New York State's Adirondack Mountains. That year, the athletes weren't the only ones making an Olympic effort. 21 amateur radio operators followed the 1,000-mile route of the traditional Olympic flame as it was carried north along the east coast of the U.S. starting on the 31st of January, 1980. Along the way, hands in each local community helped with the safety and logistics as the torch relay team passed through. To mark the Olympics anniversary, one member of that team, Bob Josaway, WA3PZO, has donated some 100 magazine and newspaper articles documenting the 10-day run itself and the amateur radio's involvement. There are also 350 35mm slides that are being digitized, so the museum can add these images to their collection, too. The hams themselves have more than those long-ago memories. Their volunteer work earned each a medal that keeps the memory burning as bright as that Olympic flame. This is Kevin Trotman, N5 PRE.
Hams in the Yukon knew him as Radio Ray. They said goodbye to him recently when he became a silent key. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us more about him.
Raymond Fred Fugard, VY1RF, kept his radios on in his house around the clock. Ask and he would identify the frequencies and coverage areas of every repeater in the vicinity of his home in the Yukon Territory. Ray had been a ham since December of 2006, and by the time he got his license, his ever-diminishing eyesight had left him legally blind. Ray became a silent key on January 6th. Ray moved to the Yukon more than 40 years ago from Ontario and became an integral part of community life through his amateur radio activities with the Yukon Amateur Radio Association. He was considered the club's network monitor, keeping track of the wide area network of repeaters across the Yukon Territory, where many U.S. travelers from the lower 48 states would make the trip north along the Alaska Highway. Club President Ian McDonald, VY1IRM, told Newsline, quote, "If anyone made a call out on the network, Ray would respond with a hello and any information that they may need," end quote. Ray also assisted in communications during emergency preparedness exercises and at such public service events as the Klondike Road Relay, the Killeen-Chilcot International Bike Race, and the Benefit Walks for MS. He was known for carrying an HT with him wherever he went. After the club changed its bylaws, Ray also became the Racy's comms controller. Club Vice President Michael Settle, VY1MGS, told Newsline that he was inspired to become a ham by Ray's own activities in amateur radio. Ray was also active in broadcasting, and Michael said he received the nickname Radio Ray because of his association with the community radio station in Dawson City. A music lover, he helped start the station, where he was both a DJ and station manager. According to his online obituary, he was in declining health and was dealing with respiratory difficulties at the time of his death. Ray was 70. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the North Coast Amateur Radio Club, N8NC repeater in Northeast Ohio, on Sundays at 8 p.m. local time during the weekly information net. The UK regulator has proposed extending its license exemption to give operating privileges to even more foreign hams during their short-term visits. Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, explains this latest development.
Ofcom has issued a consultation proposing to implement application-free short-term reciprocal licensing for amateurs visiting from non-CEPT countries and with whom the UK has a bilateral agreement. The regulator said on the 17th of January that this would expand a privilege that is already afforded to hams with a full license from CEPT signatory countries. It would apply to foreign hams whose stays do not exceed 3 months. The privilege is currently available only to hams who hold a full license from non-CEPT signatory countries, including Thailand, Brazil, Sri Lanka, and Qatar, amongst others. After the 3-month limit has been reached, foreign amateurs may apply for an additional 6 months under the existing reciprocal full temporary license process, or apply for a full UK license from Ofcom. The regulator said that this change would reduce its administrative burdens and costs. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Three amateurs will be honored in Florida at Hamcation this year as we hear from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Hamcation organizers have named three award recipients whose accomplishments will be recognized and celebrated in Orlando, Florida next month. David Jordan, AA4KN, has been selected to receive the Carol Perry Educator of the Year Award. Heather Anderson, W8GEM, and David Anderson, K1AN, will share the Gordon West Ambassador of the Year Award. In his various responsibilities with ARIS, Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, David has been responsible for coordinating QSOs with ISS astronauts for students around the world. His is a function that includes helping select and schedule the schools, as well as helping train and assist with technical operations. He is an AMSAT member who mentors students, giving them an opportunity to learn more about radio contacts via satellite through so-called teach-ins at the elementary and middle school level. Heather and David are members of the Yavapai Amateur Radio Club, W7YRC, in Arizona, where youngsters in the Youth Radio Club know them for their leadership in training and projects. The two maintain a strong presence at library summer programs, youth field days, and have an involvement in the space, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, also known as STEAM. The awards will be presented during Hamcation, which takes place from the 7th to the 9th of February. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
With terrestrial and solar weather on almost everyone's mind these days, HamSci, the citizen science research group in the U.S., has announced it is hosting Zoom sessions to assist with its personal space weather station network. HamSci hosts the sessions at 10 a.m. Eastern Time every Thursday on Zoom. The group is hoping to expand its network and improve data collection for additional studies. Visit hamsci.org for more details. In the world of DX, Ilion LZ5KW is using the callsign 8Q7KW until sometime in early February from the Maldives, IOTA number AS-013. He is using mainly CW, but is including some SSB and FT8. Find him on 80 to 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Tom 9A2AA is marking 68 years as an active radio amateur by using the call sign 9A68AA, QSL via his home call. Listen for Przemel, SP3PS, calling CQ as C5SP from the Gambia until the middle of March. He will be using SSB and FT8 on the HF bands, QSL via his home call. Claudio HB90AU will be active holiday style as D440A from Saul Island, AF-086, Cape Verde from the 5th through the 18th of February. He will operate CW SSB on 40 through 6 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Guest speakers at ham radio club meetings are supposed to inspire, and indeed many of them do. Earlier this month, the guest speaker at one club in California actually inspired a lullaby. Stay awake, please, as Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, explains what happened.
Helen Mahoney, KI6LQV, loves amateur radio to the moon and back. Really, to the surface of the moon and back. She and her husband, Doug, K6JEY, enjoy making contacts via moon bounce, also known as Earth-Moon-Earth contacts, or EME. Hearing Helen's recent guest presentation at the W6TRW Amateur Radio Club meeting in Redondo Beach, California, Becky, KN6WDQ, was left with a song in her heart. So, she wrote it, sang it, recorded it, and put it all on YouTube with Devin, KN6PHZ, and Mark, KD7DTS, singing backup vocals. This ham radio lullaby is called I Ping the Moon, and it is set to the music of another more familiar lullaby, I See the Moon and the Moon Sees Me. It also turns out to be a love song of sorts to a mode that can surprise any ham with a world of contacts if they use the right equipment. For this musical performance, Becky's instruments are her piano and, of course, her HT. It's a parody, of course, but that doesn't mean this EME fan doesn't take her on-air efforts seriously. No doubt she's dreaming already of her next QSOs, and now she has the right lullaby to sing herself to sleep. To hear the song, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to the Amateur Radio Daily, Bob Jesuit, WA3PZO, Colorado Sun, David Behar, K7DB, Facebook, 425 DX News, GoFundMe, Heritage North Funeral Home, John Turbrit, EI3HQB, Millennial Post, Ofcom, QRZ.com, Saborni Nag Biswa, VU2JFC, ShortwaveRadio.de, Steve Wright, EI5DD, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, Yukon Amateur Radio Association, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a five-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.